Welcome into Time Out with Taylor Rooks, now on the SNY.TV audio network. Today's guest is Brooklyn Nets rising star, Caris LeVert. I've been covering Caris actually since his days at Michigan, and it's so great to see him in the league doing his thing. He lets us take an in-depth look into the life of a rookie and what that adjustment from college to NBA was truly like. Plus, both he and Jeremy Lin say playoffs are realistic for the Nets, so you'll understand why they have their eyes on the postseason. Plus, why did he miss that late-night workout with D'Angelo Russell? He answers all that right here. Oh, and did you know he's related to Gerald LeVert? I thought that was pretty cool. Be sure to subscribe to Time Out with Taylor Rooks on iTunes and SoundCloud by searching Time Out with Taylor Rooks. Okay, so we've got Caris LeVert on the podcast today. It's already not going well because he went to Michigan. So I've already thought about kicking you off the podcast because I'm not a Michigan fan. I'm sorry.
That's understood. Yeah. That's understood. We're much better than Illinois in everything. So.
Well, oh, no. Okay, well, that's not true. What do you think about, like, I feel like there's this kind of stigma around Michigan. Like, people don't like Michigan people because they think they're better and they know everything. Like, is that what you've come across for people's perception of your school?
Yeah, I think so. But I mean, it is what it is. People hate on winners. So I guess that's why. What comes with it.
Because you guys are winners.
That's what comes with it.
Okay. Yeah. How did you like that experience in Ann Arbor?
It was great. I was there for 4 years. So I got to experience everything, both athletically and academically. So I feel like I grew a lot as a person more than even as a player.
Yeah. Why do you feel that way?
I kind of grew up there. I was 17 when I got there. And then I went through a lot there with, like, injuries, wins, losses, graduating. So I think I went through my fair share of things there for sure.
No, it's, like, funny you bring up kind of the injuries because, of course, when I was still at Big Ten Network, I was covering you while you were at Michigan playing basketball. And, of course, you got hurt. And I remember watching the draft and everyone was like surprised you went so early. I mean, everyone was happy, but there was kind of this idea that you would go a little later because of the injuries. And you wrote a very good piece on the Players Tribune kind of about that. So how surprised were you when you kind of saw that you went first round?
I was surprised at number 20, but yeah. I don't think I was surprised first round. I remember Joe, my agent, coming over to me like, the Nets are taking you at 20. And I was like, nah, stop playing. Like, cause I didn't know the Nets had the number 20 pick.
Yeah.
I didn't know they had traded to get it. And I just didn't think I was going to get picked 20th. But I didn't think first round was a stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously I'm super blessed to be where I am. I'm extremely thankful, but you know, that was a kind of stressful couple of months there, for sure.
How annoying was, like, the fact that your injury was brought up every single time someone said your name?
Very annoying.
Yeah.
I'm glad that it's behind me now, knock on wood, but
it is.
For a minute.
You're healthy forever. Yeah, we're speaking it into existence.
For a minute, like, even with, like, my interviews with teams and things like that at the Combine, it was everything anybody ever talked about. Mm-hmm. So it was tough, but I mean, I had to go through it and I think it, you know, made me mentally tougher for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I just think everyone, at least who watched you at Michigan, was really happy to see you go. You were one of the guys, especially at Big Ten Network, that I don't think anyone ever had anything bad to say about you. People enjoyed watching you play. It seemed like Michigan fans really enjoyed you. And I know that, as you said, Ann Arbor is a place that's really special to you. You feel like you grew up there. I know you're going back there to do a camp, right?
Yep.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, so it's my first ever camp.
That's a big step.
Yeah.
Like, people's first camp is like,
exactly,
I made it.
Yeah. So it's kind of a little late in the summer. It's in the fall, actually. But like I said, it's my first one. I'm super excited. It's a free camp, too. So it's for the community. It's for the kids.
I'm so happy it's free. I don't like when people charge.
I mean, some people have to do that. Well, no, they don't have to.
Do they?
They don't have to, but I mean.
No, that's great. It's free.
Yeah.
Everyone can go. Exactly. Like, and you want people to be able to go that wouldn't be able to go in any other circumstance. So exactly. It being free really helps.
Yeah. So I'm super excited. I love kids. I love working with camps. So everybody sign up. I can't wait to see you guys there.
Yeah. Okay. So is it females, males, is it what age group?
It's both.
So people know. Okay.
It's both females and males. I think it's from grades 6, or it's ages 6 through 13, I believe.
Okay, good.
So it reaches a wide variety of kids. And hopefully everybody signs up. It's my first one, so I'm excited for sure.
The best part about camps is just like the kids that get so excited. Yeah. To see an NBA player. Like, mm-hmm. They think it is the greatest thing on earth.
Yeah,
like,
for me, when I was young, I didn't really meet any NBA players.
Yeah.
So it's really important for me to do things like this, to go as many camps as possible, to talk to as many kids as possible. Because, like I said, when I was a kid, I didn't know any NBA players. I never talked to one. And I would have liked to, you know, ask them questions and things like that. So I always try to be available whenever the opportunity comes up.
So has it hit you, like, I'm an NBA player?
Kind of.
I can imagine it being weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, at the draft, it kind of was like, I just got drafted, but it was still like, I don't really, like, it hadn't hit me yet. I don't think it has yet.
Really?
Nah,
When do you think it would?
I'm not sure, but I'm sure one day it's just going to hit me like wow,
I'm an NBA.
I made it, yeah.
What is something that has surprised you the most about being in the NBA? I mean, you're going into year two, so you have like a whole season under your belt of kind of figuring it out. What surprised you?
The travel.
People underestimate how much you guys travel and then still have to like give your all every night. And you
absolutely.
Have been, yeah.
I remember when the season first started, I was injured, so I didn't play. And I was exhausted just traveling and not playing. So it was like, wow, what am I going to feel like when I start playing and traveling? It was huge. But, like, we literally play a game pretty much every other day. And, like,
it's
half
insane.
Of those are away games.
Yeah.
So imagine, like, traveling probably 2-3 times a week. And then when we're on the West Coast, we're over there. We were over there for, like, 22 days once.
Wow.
So it was crazy. But I
like
traveling.
How do you pack for that? Honestly, like, how do you know, like, what outfits to bring, how many you need to bring, like, because you like clothes.
Yeah.
You're a big clothes person, it seems like.
I like clothes. I do. On those trips, I usually bring, like, a lot of white tees, a lot of black tees.
Okay, I guess if you're on the West Coast.
Yeah.
How much more clothes are you coming back with?
That's the question right there.
Yeah.
Because I love shopping. I love clothes and fashion, so I'm usually shopping, especially when we go to, like, L.A.,
mm-hmm.
I'm usually shopping there. But I don't know, though. My bag is usually jam-packed, so I can't really bring a lot of stuff back. But we live in New York, though, so it's
every shop you need. You can go to Soho.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that where you usually are?
Yeah.
What are your favorite stores?
I like the Babe store. When I first moved here, I broke my phone, like, every other week, so I was at the Apple store.
Every other day. Why? Just dropping it?
Yeah, I didn't use a case.
Oh, you're one of those people that, like, thinks they're cool and has to just have their phone out.
But I kept breaking it, so
you need
I was
a case.
There a lot.
But you gotta have a case.
Yeah.
Like, nothing is, like, it's not that serious. You need the case.
I have one now.
Yeah, like, people would get the red iPhone and I'm not getting a case. Like, it's red. You need to see it. I'm like, okay, well, you're gonna buy, like, 6 red iPhones.
I get
iPhones.
That, though. Sometimes the cases are too bulky.
No.
It's like, is it gonna fall out of my pocket? I don't know.
No, I have a case. Never gone wrong. And you can see the red because it's
That's
clear.
True. That's a nice case, though.
Thank you.
A lot of cases are like the outer boxes.
See, I wouldn't do something like that.
Nah,
that can kind of mess up the swag, the outer box. case is too bitch.
Yeah.
But it's funny, like, that you're into fashion, because I feel like there's this wave of, like, guys really dressing nice, being into fashion. And I feel like it wasn't that way, like, when I was maybe a freshman in college. Like, mm-hmm. in high school, I don't think guys really dressed well. But now most people dress well. Do you feel like that?
I feel the same way. I mean, when I was younger, I wasn't really that into it either. I was just like, I can just throw something on and I'll be cool. But, I mean, everybody likes looking nice, I guess. So,
do you ever get scared that you feel like now every guy is kind of looking the same? Like, wearing the Supreme and, like, that whole, I don't even know how to explain the look, but you know what I'm saying. Like,
absolutely.
How do you explain the look? What is it called?
I don't know what it's called.
Like the Odell Beckham Jr. look.
Yeah, you know when you see it. And it's like, yeah. I don't really like looking the same as other people, but it's hard mm-hmm. now because everybody shops at the same stores. So right. I try to seek out like things that I wouldn't see someone else wearing, I guess. But I mean, it's hard though. It's yeah. hard.
How important is it for you for like your on the court look?
It's pretty important for me. I usually have the same type of swag on the court.
Okay. Explain it.
I usually have the wrist tape on okay. left wrist, maybe ankle braces, but that's not for fashion, though. That's going to have to live.
That's a necessity,
that's
okay?
That's a necessity. And then other than that, it's not too much. I don't try to do too much. Like, I don't wear shooting sleeves or a headband.
So why do you like the wrist tape?
So I messed up my wrist, like, in high school. And then, like, I wore a brace. I had to. And then it just became, like, I just started wearing it. Mm-hmm. It was just comfortable for me.
So it stuck?
It just stuck with me.
Okay.
And I took the brace off and I just started wrapping it. So I did it in college, like, my last 2 years. And then I've done it this year.
Favorite hooping shoes?
I hooped in the Kyries all last year.
Okay.
I probably will again. I don't know, though. I have to find shoes that are comfortable but are still, like, good for my feet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of difficult because I need like really sturdy shoes, and the Kyries were perfect.
Yeah.
So I just stuck with them.
I feel like there's always this debate, like just when I've talked to different NBA guys about shoes and like helping your ankle. Some people say that you should wear like high tops because it yeah. like supports your ankle.
Yeah.
But then like some people say that if you wear the shoe, like the low tops, it catches your ankle. Like there's not really an overall consensus on which one is the best for your ankle. Have you heard that?
For sure. I think you just got to do what feels best for you.
Yeah.
Some people, low top works for them. Not me, though. I'm like more of a mid to high top guy. Because okay. I turn my ankles if I don't have them.
Really?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. You need to wear what's good
those.
For you.
Yeah.
We can't have that happening.
For sure.
So first year with the Nets, you guys won, was it 20 games?
Yep.
Was it a hard season for you?
It was tough. It was tough because, like I said, to start the year for me, I was injured and, like, I couldn't really contribute all that much because I was a rookie, still learning. The travel was tough. And then when I started playing, it was a lot more fun, but we weren't really winning a lot of games.
Yeah.
Jeremy was injured at that time. So it was definitely tough. But then I think after the All-Star break, I think we started to see that the way that we were playing was paying off. We felt like we were playing the right way. We were playing together as a team, but we just weren't winning.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the All-Star break, something clicked. I think all of us were healthy. We were making some more shots, I guess. But we ended up, like, after the All-Star break, I think we were, like, top six in the East.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it was a little too late, but I think that's great momentum moving into next year, for sure.
For sure. I mean, what is losing like in the NBA? Because I feel like there's a perception from fans that think maybe NBA fans don't, or NBA players don't care too much about losing. Because, like, you're in the NBA, you're getting paid, whatever. But what is that feeling actually like?
Yeah, I mean, in college and high school, I kind of thought the same thing. I was like, I mean, there's so many games, they can't really care about every single game. But, I mean, when you get here, you definitely care about every game.
Yeah.
It's like nobody likes to lose. Everybody has that competitive nature. Everybody's competitive. Everybody wants to win every game. So it's like even losing is tough, but it's like we got another game tomorrow. We got one the next day. So
mm-hmm.
I would say that it affects us, but you got to have a quick memory.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to have a short conscious. Like it's got to go right out. It's got to go right out your head.
And how do you do that? Like, how do you stay positive? How do you look forward to the next game, especially in a place like New York,
yeah.
where media's bashing your team, fans are insane, but you have to kind of keep that level head.
I mean, it's definitely not meant for everybody.
Yeah.
You gotta kind of have that in you that you don't really care about what other people think. The people who aren't in the locker room and the people who aren't on the coaching staff, you kind of have to just block them out.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that could be your friends or your family even sometimes.
Yeah.
You just got to do what's best for the team a lot of the time. And a lot of the time, like, the fans on Instagram and things like that and Twitter,
Oh God.
They're just there just to talk. Just to talk. Mm-hmm. And it's like
they just wanna send you something.
Exactly. Yeah. A lot of times they just want like a reply or a response. But you gotta tune that out. It's part of the game. It's fun. Yeah. So
of course coming off a season that could have been better. But now you and Jeremy Lin have both said that you think the playoffs are realistic. What makes you so sure of that?
I mean, like I said, last year, after the All-Star break, when everybody was healthy, we would have been a playoff team had we had kept that pace the whole season. Along with the players that we've added, with Damari and Allen and D'Angelo and Jared, I think that gives us a huge leap going forward.
You guys had a great offseason. Got a lot of nice pieces.
Yeah. Brooke was a great player, a great teammate. And you hate losing a guy like that because he was so talented. But I think that we made some good moves for sure.
So you find out D'Angelo Russell's coming to your team. What do you instantly think? Like, what part of him like makes you know you guys will get better? What is it about him as a player?
I was super excited. Because I've seen him play since like high school, honestly. Us both being from the Midwest, I think he played for All Ohio Red too in AAU. So I saw him play a lot. And he's got such a high IQ. I think a really underrated part of his game is his passing.
Mm-hmm. And that's what people loved about him at Ohio State.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Coming out, everyone knew he was a great passer, and I think that's kind of overlooked now. He's someone that, you know, everybody would love to play with. Like, he finds guys naturally. And that's like a sixth sense that not a lot of people have.
So he went to Ohio State. Are you guys like allowed to be friends? I don't think that is allowed. It's against the rules.
He was only there for like 6 months.
So you're not going to hold it against him.
I won't hold it against him.
Do you guys ever talk about that?
Yeah, for sure. We split when we were there. They won one, we won one.
Yeah, so no one really has the edge.
Exactly.
That's so fun. Yeah. Like, that is the one rivalry, like, it carries into the league.
Yeah.
Like, I know so many basketball players and football players that still, like, do not like playing against people that went to the other school.
I think the one that's really bad for basketball is Michigan State.
Oh, definitely.
For sure.
That, like, splits families apart.
Oh, yeah. For sure. I think football, Ohio State and Michigan is worse, but basketball, that basketball rivalry goes back far, far.
So was there any point, like, last season where you played someone from Michigan State and that was in your head? Was there trash talk about it at all?
I mean, I walked to the scorer's table one game and we were playing against the Grizzlies and Zach Randolph walked up to me and he's like, because we had just beat him like a week before, we beat him by like 30. Mm-hmm. He's like, you guys got us last week. I was like, yeah, go blue.
Go blue.
Exactly.
That's I love that. Illinois, like, we don't even have a rival. It's technically Northwestern, but I don't even count them. Like, come on. They just went to their first NCAA tournament.
Yeah, you can't really count
them. Yeah. Like, I thought Missouri was kind of a rival. Superior.
I would agree, for sure.
No, Mizzou is our, like, I call it a rival, for sure, but it's really just like the bragging rights game. It would be so much better if they were in our conference and it's something we did every year.
Yeah, for
we
sure.
We just have that one That's game, true. That's but true. There's nothing like that game.
Yeah.
I mean,
that game it is gets lit so, every
yes,
year.
Yes. It's year. Amazing. It's so loud and you carry that win with you.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, that's really the only thing I have to hold on to. So, our football, like, nobody really. It's kind of like, you actually really like football. I think I read that once. Who's your team?
Well, for college, it's obviously Michigan. Right. But NFL, I don't know. I like the Giants, the Cowboys.
Did you like the Giants before you moved here?
Nah.
Okay. So you
one of my boys plays for the team, too. Okay. Roger Lewis, he's a receiver.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah. I grew up with him. So I think I like the teams I like now in the NFL are like teams that I know some of the players on the team.
Yeah. So cool.
So I'm not like a super
My friend I'm plays like a super for them. Fan. You like players, or you like players, which makes you like the
exactly.
Team. Did you ever play football?
Oh yeah, football was my favorite sport up until.
Were you a receiver?
I was shorter, so I was a running back.
Okay, and wait, when did you hit your growth spurt?
I hit my growth spurt like my junior senior year of high school.
Okay,
but I didn't stop growing until my junior year of college.
I cannot picture you as a running back.
I was nice though.
Really?
Yes, but really? Then like I got taller, and then I switched to receiver. And then I was just different.
Okay, so, like, really each game, what are you rushing for?
I was young, so that it doesn't really count, but I was over 200 every game.
Okay, you were young, but that's good. Yeah. I mean, even for being young.
Yeah, for sure.
So you got taller and you decided to make the switch to basketball.
Yeah. And
do you, go ahead.
I still played basketball, but I love football. Football is my favorite.
Yeah. So do you think now at this point, because you've done it for so long, you love basketball more, or do you still love football more?
Nah, I definitely love basketball more.
Okay.
I think football kind of went away when I stopped playing it because I stopped watching it as much too. But I mean, I love basketball way more now.
Yeah. So I have a question I have always wondered. Are you related to Gerald LeVert?
Yeah.
That is very cool. Can you sing?
No.
No, you hesitated. That means you kind of can.
Because I think I can, but nobody else really does.
No. I think that you can sing. Usually people are like, no. You were like,
That's just me thinking I can. But
but like no one else.
Nah, nobody else.
So why do you think you can? Like shower singing?
Shower singing, rap lyrics.
Okay.
Stuff like that.
Is it? I may be thinking of the wrong person. I want to say, can D'Angelo Russell sing? Is that him?
I've never heard
of him. You haven't heard it? It may not be him.
Who? I don't know if anybody on my team can sing.
I know like the Cavs can sing. Oh, Kyrie man. And them are always singing. Maybe it's not D'Angelo hilarious. Russell. Maybe I just think he really likes music.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody can sing on my team.
Besides you.
Besides me.
So are you a good singer because, like, you think when you're singing over the songs? Because I think that about myself.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if Beyonce's also singing, then I sound really good with her.
For sure.
You know? For like, sure. As long as I have the professional in the background, it totally works.
For sure. And it's in my blood, so.
Exactly. So you should be able to. Maybe people just, like, don't have the ear. I think that's it, you know?
Exactly.
So I've kind of gone off on a tangent, but it was very important for me to ask that. Yeah. Tell me about Taiwan.
Taiwan was crazy. So that was my first time ever being in Asia. And then being with Jeremy was a different level. Like, as soon as we got off the plane, there were people with, like, Brooklyn Nets jerseys, Michigan jerseys.
You're, like, mega famous over there. Like, they love NBA players.
That's crazy. Yeah. I didn't really know that. I mean, I saw pictures, but just experiencing it firsthand was ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's, like, every time we got off the bus, like, to go into the camp, pictures, autographs. Every time we, like, went to dinner, pictures, autographs. And, like, we would see people in the morning time. They would take a picture, and then we'd see them that night, and they would have the picture printed out, like, ready to sign.
Oh, for you to sign. Yeah. That's really cute. Crazy. Oh, I love that. And so what all did you guys do over there?
We did a lot of stuff. So obviously we had to camp with Jeremy, like, the first couple of days. And then after that, we were kind of just chilling over there. So we went shopping.
Of course.
So we went to Japan, too, a couple days later. Okay. And that was, like, that was just a chill trip. Like, we're just there, just experiencing different types of food. I tried sushi for the first time.
Wait. Yeah. You never had sushi until you went there.
Never. I was always scared of it because I'm allergic to shrimp. So
I am shocked by that.
Absolutely.
I mean, because you can get sushi with crab and scallops and eel.
I don't know. I was just never a fan. I actually like it. It's pretty good.
I am so sorry you're allergic to shrimp, though. Yeah. Shrimp is the best food.
I developed an allergy for it.
Really?
So when I was younger, I wasn't allergic to it.
Yeah.
So I love shrimp. And then one day, my throat closed up.
Like, you had some shrimp, got sick, and you went to the doctor, and they said you cannot have any more shrimp.
Yeah.
Did you ever, like, cheat and eat shrimp since that?
No.
Really? No, I don't think I had the discipline. I'm like, you know what? I'll just suffer it for a day.
Nah, it's not a good feeling.
I can't believe that was the first time you'd ever had sushi.
First time.
Have you had any since? Have you come back here, gone to a sushi place, and eaten?
Mm-mm.
Oh, my gosh. You should go to
Catch. It's not filling enough for me.
Really? You can get a lot. Catch isn't, like, the best place for sushi, but it has a really nice vibe. I think you would like it. Have you been?
I've been there.
Yeah.
I usually get the salmon, though.
The salmon. So it's not even, like, all shellfish or all fish. It's just shrimp. So you can have crab, you can have lobster.
I stay away, but I can.
Okay. Yeah. But you're not allergic.
I know. I'm just scared.
You're just scared.
It's not a good feeling, I'm telling you.
Well, I'm happy you went over there and you had some shrimp. What is Jeremy Lin like?
He's cool. He's a real cool guy. Yeah, he's
I liked his braids.
Yeah. I tell him that all the time. But nah, he's a really good guy. He gave me a lot of great advice this rookie season I had. Obviously, he was going through an injury too, so we were kind of doing rehab together for a little while. He's a great, you know, teammate, somebody to look up to, somebody to aspire to be like. He had a great story, obviously. But I mean, he's a great teammate. He's someone that, you know, any rookie, anybody in the league would be lucky to have for sure.
So what should Nets fans just be looking for from your team in general heading into the next season?
I think they should be super excited. You know, we have a lot of new faces. We have a lot of guys with similar skill sets, but at the same time, also very unique. So we have a lot of wings, but, you know, you have a guy like Allen who could really shoot. You got a guy like Rondé who could really defend, really finish around the basket. So I think we have a lot of pieces that go well together. And it'll definitely be interesting to see how quickly we can mesh together and go out there and win games.
Do you think that you guys have more length and enough length this upcoming season?
I think so. You know, we have a lot of guys who are like 6'6", to like 6'8". And that's great in the league right now because you see a lot of undersized forward men. A lot of guys like Draymond Green who play the four. So we have a lot of guys who can do that for sure. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the position. Like if you have a great stretch four, great four who can defend multiple positions, then you're in pretty good shape.
Okay. All right. I'm sure Nets fans have questions for you. So let's look at Twitter.
Let's do it.
Let's see what they're saying. All right. Looks like Clark Williams liked my tweet.
Your support.
All right, let's see. Oh, this is so funny. I actually saw when this was going on, and this is from Yogi. Yogi tweeted
really?
Me and said,
"Wow. Here we go.
Ask him why he didn't show up for the midnight workout with D'Angelo." I saw D'Angelo's like, "Kara's supposed to be here, and he didn't show up."
All right, so here's what happened with the midnight workout.
Okay.
So we went to dinner together. As a team, and D'Angelo asked me if I would go with them. So I was like, sure. Mm-hmm. But I got to watch Power first.
Hey, that's important. Exactly. I don't even blame you.
Exactly. So I was like, after I watch Power, I'll come to the gym with you for sure.
Okay.
So he went to the gym, but I was still watching Power. So I went after Power was over, but I guess he was gone already.
Oh, you went after it was over? Oh, I don't know if I'm going to believe that.
You don't have to.
But whatever you say.
You don't have to.
How nice is that gym?
It's crazy.
Oh, my goodness. I want to be a basketball player just to go there. Those little, like, what does he call them? Like the, like, blackout workout. What when everyone is there. There's, like, a name for what he calls them. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's like blackout something, like when like Melo and KD and everyone was there.
The Black Ops or whatever.
Something, yes. Yeah. Some cool name that like I would never be invited to. okay, how many sacks will Taco get his rookie year? Are you friends with him?
Oh, yeah. That's my boy. I'm going to predict about, I'm going to say 7.
Okay.
7, that's a good number.
It is.
I'm going to say it 7
is. For him. Like, kind of like every other game, mm-hmm. sort of.
I saw he got one the other day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So do you make sure to watch when, like, your friends are playing?
For sure.
Okay.
And then
good.
I'll look at their stats and everything, too.
Very nice. And then you're like, yo, I was a running back and I could have been on your team.
Not at that level.
All right. Ask him how much weight he has put on this summer. He looks a little bigger from the 203 you were listed at last season.
Well, I will say the 203 was a little generous.
hey, this person likes you. They're trying to help
hey,
you
out. Hey, I'll take it. But I put on about 5 to 7 pounds off season.
Okay, nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. Let's see. What part of your game do you feel most improved over the summer?
I would probably say just shooting. But even more than that, just my comfort level out there on the court. Okay. As a rookie, you know, it's kind of tough coming in from a different situation than in college. And you're trying to find yourself. You're trying to find your role and everything.
Right.
And I feel like going into this year, I'm going to be a lot more comfortable on the floor. And as an athlete, any sport, you know, when you're more comfortable, that's when your natural instincts come out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to that for sure.
Yeah, and also just like being used to the fact that you're playing in the NBA. I feel like you would never get used to that
exactly.
Your rookie year, anybody, just because it's like a I don't think culture shock is the right word, mm-hmm. but it's a complete lifestyle difference.
It's something that you can't prepare for.
Right.
It's like you just got to be in it.
For sure. Okay. Oh, this is a good one. Tell me about your recent workouts with like KD and Steve Nash, Uncle Patrick. What was that like? KD was just in the podcast.
Yeah. Those were great. They were out in LA.
Okay.
It was like a week long. And you really see why, you know, somebody like KD or even Steve Nash when he was playing, why they're so good. Because they're so locked into attention to detail.
Mm-hmm.
And then they work extremely hard. Like, we were doing 3-a-days for, like, a week straight. And me and Sean were only there for a week. But that's, like, his whole summer.
Yeah.
So, just looking at that.
Ready.
Exactly. Exactly. Looking at that, it's, like, you can see why he's finals MVP champion. But I was definitely, you know, super blessed to be out there with those guys. I learned a lot. It was my first time meeting Steve Nash.
So that's really amazing. Cool guy. Yeah. What was he like?
Really cool guy. Very smart. And like I said, you can, like when you meet a guy like that and when you kind of work out with him, you can see why he was so good.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it goes beyond the YouTube highlights and everything like that. Like,
right.
When you kind of pick his brain a little bit, you can see why he's such a good player.
So do you think, because this is just a question for me, I've always wondered, like, once you're in the NBA, of course you have people in college you've looked up to and you want to play like, once you are on that level in the same career, does that heighten or do you feel like, you know what, I just got to go out this person, they're my competition? Like, how does it change?
I mean, this is kind of like with any sport, with anything. Once you get on the court, you don't really have any friends.
Right.
So it's like, for me, KD was always my favorite player growing up. But when I'm on the court against him, I'm not thinking about that.
Right.
I'm just thinking about winning the game, playing mm-hmm. as well as I can. So it's like, it's like your idols become your rivals.
Mm-hmm. You got to throw in that Drake lyric.
Yeah. You just got to go at him. So,
right.
Yeah.
So who has been like a person you have met so far, even if it was off the court, like someone that was just at a game, that has been your favorite? I saw you met Rihanna, mm-hmm. which I'm very jealous of. So you can't say her, though. Someone different.
Someone different. So just a famous person?
Yeah, that you would, like, that sticks with you. You can't believe you met them.
I don't know. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. Probably she took my Rihanna one.
That's easy.
I might have to say Steve Nash, honestly.
Really?
Yeah, because I was always a fan of his.
Mm-hmm.
Like, super fan of Steve Nash.
Yeah.
So just meeting him and talking to him, picking his brain, it was great, for sure.
Good. Well, see, was this painless? Was it as bad as you thought it was going to be?
Nah,
this was easy. It was easy, right?
This was easy.
You can come back anytime. Come back after, like, your sophomore season.
Right.
We'll see how much you improve.
For sure, for sure. Thank
Thanks, Karis.
Thanks for having me.
That was Karis LeVert, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I am one of the people who really does think the Nets are going to come out next year and surprise lots of folks. I mean, had amazing pickups in the offseason, and Karis truly is going to be a key piece to that success now that they've added even more people around him. You know, plus they've got a healthy Jeremy Lin, which is huge, and a much, much weakened Eastern Conference, so it's looking good for them. So best of luck to Karis this season, and huge thanks to him for coming on. Huge thanks to you for listening. So like, subscribe, leave a review. I'm Taylor Rooks. Talk to you next time.